dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for the war of ideas waged here every weekday. We are going to be talking about some of the biggest ideas in the war we're confronting with Thad McCotter, the fourth-ranking Republican in the House of Representatives. We'll be talking about the threats to our sovereignty, the START Treaty, Iraq and Iran, a wide-ranging conversation with one of our country's most thoughtful and strategic of legislators. Following Thad McCotter, we'll be talking with the syndicated columnist and New York Times best-selling author, David Limbaugh, about his new book, Crimes Against Liberty, a powerful indictment of the Obama administration and a reminder of what's at stake in the elections coming up in now just 2 months' time. And then finally, segment four, Jim Hansen, our colleague from Black5.net, will be talking about, among other things, the prospect of the United Nations or other multilateral institutions imposing gun control regimens on the United States in ways that our own sovereign, accountable government would never do. How do you like them apples, I'm fond of saying. We'll be getting into all of that with Jim Hansen and more in just a few minutes. But first, a few thoughts from me about General David Petraeus, our commander in the Afghan theater, and his comments that we face retribution if the pastor of a tiny congregation outside of Gainesville, Florida, known as the Dove World Outreach Center, goes ahead with his announced intention to burn some Qurans, the holy book of Islam. The general has warned that, quote, images of the burning of a Quran would undoubtedly be used by extremists in Afghanistan and around the world to inflame public opinion and incite violence, unquote. Now, to be sure, those sorts of concerns are not unfounded, given the past practice of adherence to Sharia, also known as extremists, according to General David Petraeus. These are individuals who will seize upon any real or perceived slight to Islam in ways calculated to enforce submission to its dictates. Usually, these involve the actual or the threatened use of violence against innocents. And in this fashion, we've seen individuals, in some cases groups, in other cases mobs, actually inflicting the violent forms of jihad, being put in the service of the so-called Islamic moderates, who are themselves seeking the same goal, namely the triumph of Sharia and the establishment of a worldwide caliphate to rule in accordance with it, albeit, in the case of these moderates, through nonviolent means, or, I should say, at least for the moment, nonviolent means. And I think it's fair to say that it is not an exaggeration to observe that those moderates, so-called, seeking our destruction through nonviolent means are at least as dangerous to a society like ours, which gives large latitude to people who are professing that all of this is simply the practice of their faith, as long as they're not engaged in violence. Especially dangerous is the combination, as we've been seeing lately, of this threat or the use of violence on the one hand and the nonviolent form of stealth jihad as a kind of pincer movement to force societies like ours to make concession upon concession upon concession to those who seek to bring Sharia into our countries. And there's a powerful temptation to go along with this under the circumstances. But yielding to that temptation simply dooms our society to the end state demanded by the adherence to this totalitarian program, namely our submission. I believe that we can properly object to book burnings of any kind. Or you can simply argue that, you know, the pastor of this congregation in Gainesville has the right, the legal right, to burn Qurans, but to paraphrase President Obama on the Ground Zero Mosque, it would not be wise, or right even, to exercise it. Either way, I believe strongly that those of us who oppose Sharia in America should also oppose this Quran-burning stunt. But the risk is, I think this is something we have to be mindful of, were one to take statements like General Petraeus's to their logical conclusion, any objection to the Quran-derived program of Sharia could be deemed an endangerment to our troops overseas. The result of such a practice, though, would inevitably be to put at risk here at home both the American people and their constitution. Obviously, it behooves U.S. government officials, whether civilian or military, to dispute those sorts of extrapolations, as they have, after all, sworn a solemn oath to support and defend that very constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I would call on General Petraeus to make clear that they have this duty, that he's not stating that all objections to all efforts to bring Sharia to America should be avoided lest they cause problems for our troops overseas. By so doing, I think he and the rest of us could very usefully demonstrate that it is perfectly legitimate, in fact, it is absolutely necessary to protect our Constitution and this country against those efforts being made to bring Sharia here. And in that regard, I commend to you in the strongest of terms a marvelous posting by our friend Andy McCarthy that appears in today's National Review Online entitled, "This is Where We Begin to Say No." Indeed, that's exactly what we need to do at this very moment. Next up, we're going to be talking with Congressman Thad McCotter about sovereignty, START, Iran and Iraq, and so much more. You're not going to want to miss this leader in the Congress on matters affecting you. Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Pat Boone here with a news flash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on: gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing fourfold since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based upon ultimate economic truth and substance. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call Swiss America now and request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. 888-393-7513.
Imagine you are a small child living a constant nightmare of abuse and neglect. Late one night, you are rescued from this awful situation and whisked off to a shelter. It happens so fast you have no time to take anything with you. No stuffed animal, no special blanket, not even a clean change of clothes. Scared and with people you don't even know, you have nothing to cling to for comfort. Sadly, each year in America, over 300,000 children endure this trauma and are placed in foster care with empty hands and empty hearts. That's where we come in. With your help, My Stuff Bags Foundation can give these kids their very own My Stuff Duffels, filled with new toys, a stuffed animal, and other desperately needed items. Let's show thousands of children across America that people do care about them, with new belongings and new hope. Please call 8663-MY-STUFF or visit mystuffbags.org. That's 8663-MY-STUFF or mystuffbags.org. Thank you.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined for this installment and this segment of Secure Freedom Radio by one of our favorite leaders on the United States Congress, Thad McCotter of Michigan. He is the fourth most senior Republican in the House of Representatives and one of our go-to guys on so many issues. And Congressman, one that I wanted to start with involves a question that I know is near and dear to your heart, namely sovereignty. It turns out that the administration of Barack Obama has submitted for what appears to be international, well, condemnation, the law that was enacted by the state of Arizona in response to the failure of the United States government to enforce its own immigration laws. And now the UN Human Rights Council, an odious body if ever there was one, is supposed to pass judgment as to whether this law in Arizona is a violation of human rights. And I wonder, as co-chairman of the House Sovereignty Caucus, what you make of this initiative of the administration and what we should take away from it, both with respect to the law and this sort of transnational agenda of the administration.
Well, I think, Frank, that there's a saying in law, res ipsa loquitur, the thing speaks for itself. To watch an administration of the Democrats in Congress running around to the UN, Human Rights Commission, with such a leading light of compassion and charity, such as Libya and communist China and others, to sit in judgment of the United States so that they can advance their own domestic political agenda here in America, it just strikes me as outrageous. It strikes me as revealing exactly what you said, is that a whole lot of these Democrats seem to think that they're citizens of the world, and that they should allow America to hang itself out there and be castigated by these tyrants and by these petty dictators. And I find that absolutely repugnant, as I think the vast majority of Americans do.
Yeah, and I know you're a supporter of the Arizona efforts to enforce the law. Do you think that should the UN Human Rights Council now come down in a critical way, as one must anticipate, and certainly I think the administration anticipates, that this will have any bearing on how immigration issues are handled in the United States Congress, particularly after this coming election?
Well, that's the big question, is who's sitting there when it comes out. But I think the vast majority of Americans, again, if you have a discredited entity like the Global Tammany Hall, it isn't the United Nations or its Human Rights Council, which is actually very much of a misnomer. If you start to think about the very people attacking the United States for the actions in Arizona, I think the vast majority of Americans are going to respond with, well, what did you expect from them? And they're going to start to question the administration that did this, that allowed this to happen, that held up America's domestic laws, in fact, the state laws, if it's a pinata for these petty tyrants to attack.
Right. Good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing this one play out then. Pinata is a marvelous image. Congressman, I know that the ratification or advice and consent to the ratification of treaties is not a House of Representatives responsibility, but I'm wondering if you have given any thought to the START Treaty, which is expected to come before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee next week. Specifically, there's an article that our friend John Bolton has in the Wall Street Journal today that I thought was very important, that really does touch, of course, on not just the Senate's responsibilities, but those of the House as well under the Constitution to provide for the common defense, namely that this treaty will, among its other defects, and the larger denuclearization agenda of which it's a part, which is also deeply troublesome. But as John Bolton points out in the Wall Street Journal today, Congressman Thad McCotter, this treaty will limit the conventional military capabilities of the United States, specifically what's called prompt conventional strike. Should we be concerned about this? Should you on the House side, as well as the Senate, be raising your voices of in opposition to this treaty?
I think everybody who's concerned about the future of American national security should be. And I think it goes to a larger point, not only a revanchist Russia causing problems internationally for its neighbors. It also goes to the fundamental concept of whether or not this administration understands the security requirements of the United States. And I think that when you look around the world, where have we not given ground? In Iraq, we have stayed the course. I've given the president credit for that. Afghanistan, we're staying the course, trying to have a successful surge. But in international diplomacy with other nations, where have we not given ground?
Well, let's talk about Iraq for a second, Congressman McCotter, because I wonder whether when the president made his announcement the other day of the end of combat operations, whether you didn't hear a vague echo of mission accomplished. And as we're seeing, it seems, the beginnings at least of a renewed insurgency in Iraq, whether we might not actually be giving ground there too in a way that could potentially put at risk everything we've invested in lives and treasure to try to have that place come out better.
Well, I think the insurgents are starting up again because of the transition that is obviously hastening now to this Iraqis controlling their own security. The al-Qaeda in Iraq and others, they know that once the Iraqis can defend themselves and provide their own security absent U.S. support, that they're done. that the terrorist enemy has done. And so you're going to continue to see this. But I would trust the judgment of people like General Petraeus, General Guillermo, who's over there, that will tell us whether or not we're on the proper path. And I think that so far they said that we are.
Well, both of them are going to be out of the theater shortly. So Petraeus, of course, already is up in Afghanistan. So we'll be watching this closely, and I know you will as well. Congressman McCotter, let me close up in the remaining minute or two we have with you on another issue that I know you've been very engaged in, and I think you're also worried about the administration's conduct of, namely Iran. We've seen sanctions that you all enacted recently, unilateral sanctions, apparently beginning to bite, and yet we're seeing the Bushehr reactor come online. We're seeing, apparently, the Russian advanced SA-300 missiles coming in, the air defense systems. We're seeing the UN International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors being thrown out. Where are we on Iran, and does it worry you that it may not be on a favorable trajectory?
Well, it ties back with what we were talking about earlier, doesn't it? There's the Russians. Those are some great partners, aren't they? We're going to sign a START treaty with the Russians who are providing missiles to help the air defenses of Iran. Does that sound like a good idea? You talk about the U.N.
and fueling the Iranian reactor as well.
Yeah, shouldn't their focus be on trying to keep their inspectors there to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons instead of looking at Arizona's state statute? So I think that when you talk about Iran, the biggest problem with Iran is that the West has got to get its minds around what the Mullah and their murdered mullahs and their murderous regime want to do and why they shouldn't have a nuclear weapon. And instead of just playing the game whereby you hope for the best and talk, the reality is, unless you do things like sanctions, unless the rest of the world, including communist China and Russia, understand why a nuclear-armed Iran is a problem, it's just going to be a matter of time.
Yeah, and that's our big concern, of course, is time is not on our side. The Iranians have shown themselves to be very capable of playing the clock out. It's put them in a position where they've been able to bring these various nuclear capabilities to fruition as they have. And we appreciate so much, Congressman Thad McCotter, your leadership in the House of Representatives in trying to get sanctions in place before now that might have helped prevent some of this. And we look forward to collaborating with you in making this come out as right as we can, even so. Congressman McCotter, thank you again for joining us. Next up, we have David Limbaugh, the author of a marvelous new book, Crimes Against Liberty. He'll be telling us about President Obama's lies and other considerations that are tantamount to such crimes against liberty. That means your liberty. You're going to want to find out what David Limbaugh has to say. Straight ahead.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney. Are you tired of Congress rushing through far-reaching legislation without understanding the consequences or even reading the bill? It's given us a flawed health care plan, an ineffective stimulus package, runaway spending, and crippling debt. Now President Obama wants the Senate to treat our national security the same way by approving the new START treaty with Russia before anyone really understands its ominous implications. The treaty would leave us with fewer deployed nuclear weapons than the Russians and impede our missile defenses while doing nothing about growing nuclear threats from China, Iran, and North Korea. When it comes to keeping America safe, it can't be business as usual on Capitol Hill. Tell your senators that in an ever more dangerous world, we need a strong and reliable deterrent, not a bad treaty. Stop the START treaty now. Paid for by the Center for Security Policy, stopthestarttreaty.org.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable child care near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're joined for this segment by David Limbaugh, a nationally syndicated columnist with the Creators Syndicate. You see his published works all over the place. He is a marvelous political commentator and analyst and the author of a number of New York Times bestsellers, including Absolute Power, Persecution, and Bankrupt. He is also the author, which brings us together today, I'm happy to say, of a brand new and surely best-selling book, Crimes Against Liberty. David Limbaugh, welcome back. It's great to have you with us at Secure Freedom Radio, and thank you for this important contribution to this electoral season. Tell us the thesis of Crimes Against Liberty.
Frank, thanks for having me. Great to be with you. The thesis is that we have a one-man wrecking crew in as chief executive of the United States of America and as commander-in-chief, who is taking us over the path of financial bankruptcy almost deliberately. Those who argue that it is deliberately can't be successfully credibly refuted because it is so blatant and outrageous what he's doing. He is spending he's going to double our national debt inside of his two terms, should, God forbid, he get reelected, and it'll be tripled by 2012. The deficit will be 104% of GDP by 2020, and I have five kids that I want to help bequeath the same kind of prosperous and free and secure America that my parents and grandparents bequeathed to us. And I see that as the window of opportunity for that closing in front of our faces, and will be irreversible, at least for a generation, if we don't take dramatic action to reverse this maniacal Marxist in the White House.
Whoa, those are strong terms. The proposition that he is a maniacal Marxist. I don't want to necessarily contradict you. I just want to clarify. I'm assuming that you're taking as evidence of that sort of Marxist sort of affinity his attachment to Alinsky and the practice of Saul Alinsky's revolutionary techniques for effecting what he said was going to be the fundamental transformation of America.
Yes, and when I say maniacal Marxist, I don't mean he's a literal maniac. I mean he's maniacally attached to fundamentally changing America to a utopian redistributive state. You know, not that he's crazy. However, after you saw him this week talking about people after him and treating him like a dog and not being able and, you know, showing that thin skin, you got to wonder if he isn't a little unhinged. I think he is, because I don't think this narcissist is capable of taking the punishment that he meets out. But yeah, I think he's definitely a disciple of Saul Alinsky, both in tactics and in goal. The goal, of course, is to fundamentally change America, and Obama said he would. And by the way, no one wants to fundamentally change something they love. He wouldn't have wanted to fundamentally change America if he loved it. He's proved he doesn't love it. He almost has the attitude of a foreigner to it, you know, going around the world apologizing about it. But yes, he'll use any kind of deceitful tactics. Jonathan Chait, a liberal writer who was notorious for having said, I hate everything about Bush, the way he walks and all this stuff, said there is no contradiction between Obama's apparent conciliatory method and his radical ideology and agenda. It's one is a means to an end. That is, he will employ these conciliatory operations as a mode of lulling people into thinking he's conciliatory and bipartisan, and roping them in and then slamming them down with an extremist agenda. That's exactly what he's done throughout his 20 months in office. And so
we're talking, let me just reintroduce you, David, because this is such an important conversation. We're speaking with David Limbaugh, the author most recently of Crimes Against Liberty. This is a, I think, incredibly timely contribution to the kinds of decisions that every voter in this country is going to have to make in the next few days. And David, just to give a bit more perspective on how revolutionary this transformation, and I think that was his term, not just change, because change seems fairly innocuous, basically, but fundamentally transforming America against the backdrop of what you said, that you don't get into that line of work if you don't think things are really wrong with the country. What would Alinsky be doing in this mode that Alinsky, his disciple, is not doing? What kind of revolutionary actions could we be contemplating that we're not actually seeing? Can you connect the dots for us?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I can't think of too many, because Obama, in every agenda item, every major agenda item, he adopts the same strategy, which is to isolate a target and demonize it, abuse it. Look at what he did in the healthcare reform situation, the Obamacare. He demonized insurance companies, doctors, pharmaceuticals, and it serves a dual purpose. One, it distracts people from focusing on the real issue, and it also enables him to get leverage his policy agenda against someone as if they're the demon. So he gets double bang for the buck, and he did it shamelessly. He lies. He calls a says these insurance companies are making excessive profits when they're not, and I've proven in the book that their profits were mainstream. He says that people, that he condemns them for discriminating against people with pre-existing conditions. That's an outrageous lie, to use civil rights language. Discriminating, all the insurance companies were doing is not covering people who their contract said they shouldn't cover, and who Obama later admitted if they did cover, they'd go bankrupt. An insurance company that covers pre-existing conditions outside of the contract would go bankrupt, and the only way, and it would become, it would no longer be a risk assessment company, which is what insurance companies are, but a public utility. The only way it could come out is if you had mandatory coverage for everybody, and Obama admitted that. So he lied the whole time while he was castigating insurance companies.
And then David,
go ahead.
Excuse me, just what we're seeing in the Wall Street Journal today, at least, is the indication that the insurance companies are now raising their rates in order to try to cover some of the additional costs, as many predicted.
Well, David, it's a joke, Frank. It's not insurance. It's just making somebody pay for somebody's benefits by law. It's
right.
Mandatory. It's
redistributing of wealth, as you said.
Yeah.
David, this is a show, as you know, specifically about sort of national security-related issues,
yeah.
And I want to just spend the remaining minute or two that we have with you, alas, on sort of the anti-American element of his agenda and what it means for our power and security as a nation.
Yeah, I have three chapters devoted to this section, the anti-American, the anti-Israel, and the see no evil, where he's reversed our position in the war on terror to a pre-9/11 mindset. But the anti-Americans, where he was raised in by Frank Marshall Davis, his mentor, and his mother to dislike America, then he's gone around the world apologizing for America, for consuming too much of the world's resources, for its racist past, for its blemished history, for being arrogant and dismissive, and he's bad-mouthed the very essence of American founding ideals, such as our free market system, our freedom. And so he goes around and props up dictators and turns his back on true democratic movements, such as in Iran and the Honduras. He's always sidling up to dictators. And by the way, he claimed that he castigated Bush for alienating our foreign countries, and he's gone around and alienated everyone, including our allies and the Muslims. He can't even get the Muslims to like him after toppling to him for a year and a half.
A very important point. David Limbaugh, the author of Crimes Against Liberty, thank you so much for this important contribution. Come back. Let's talk about this a bit further. I specifically want to get into more on his anti-American exceptionalism, extent to which this connection to Frank Marshall Davis is really troubling, and most especially your point about the legacy to our children. This is what it is all about, folks. Check out Crimes Against Liberty, and we look forward to a further visit with you soon. David Limbaugh, thanks so much
for
joining us. Next up,
thank you very much.
We are going to be talking with Jim Hansen about the UN's coming for your guns. How do you like them apples? Straight ahead.
First line of defense in the war of ideas. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here with some good financial news for a change. Although stocks, bonds, and real estate may be stuck in a rut this year, the next mega stage of the long-term bull market in gold and silver is just beginning. Experts say gold will soon rush to new historic highs because gold alone is real money and offers value, safety, and growth. Gold is no longer a luxury. Today it's a necessity. Safety first. Start now by letting Swiss America educate and inspire you to rediscover gold for your existing IRA. Ask for their rare opportunity, DVD and CD. Stop worrying about financial gloom and do something to protect yourself.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council. Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do with it...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he should have...
he should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined for this segment 4 by our regular guest Thursdays, Jim Hansen of Black5.net, also a featured contributor at BigPiece.com, where we are joined at the hip in fighting the war of ideas with Andrew Breitbart. And it's great to have you with us as always, Jim. Thanks for joining me.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Jim, you have become seized, as I think we all should be of late, with this idea that the United Nations or the Organization of American States or some other transnationalist operation can tell us what we can have in the way of firearms or ammunition, and more to the point, what we can't have. And give us the background, if you can, on these initiatives, these treaties and the like, and where you see this effort to impose from outside gun control measures that I think it's safe to say would never be enacted by our own legislature, and what we should be thinking and doing about it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head right there, Frank. It's a question of the courts recently have broadly reaffirmed the Second Amendment. You know, Justice Scalia, there were two major rulings, Heller and McDonald, one in D.C., one in Chicago, affirming that the words of the Second Amendment mean what they said, you know, that we do have an individual right and that it is incorporated down to the states, meaning they can't overrule the federal government, the Constitution, you know, and go ahead and pull those out. I think the Obama administration and many of its appointees are very, very comfortable with the idea that our quaint little conventions and Constitution really are not as important in this day and age as the world's opinion and world law, you know, global, I guess, feelings of how we should operate should be subordinate, you know, to the transnational organizations like you mentioned. So there's a specific treaty where they're attempting, and it's right now the main one is in our hemisphere with, as you mentioned, the Organization of American States, and they're trying to stop arms trafficking. You know, which is kind of hard to argue with. You know, there are a lot of places where illegal arms trafficking and things along those lines cause tremendous harm. People die. You know, it's just a horrifying thing. The problem is they're writing these things in ways that would be almost a stealth assault on our ability to, you know, maintain the rights that Americans are very comfortable with as far as owning firearms. So it's one of a broad, I would guess, phalanx of attacks on American sovereignty by the Obama administration in their quest to make us, you know, post-American.
Yeah. And Jim, that really is the key word here is post-American. This whole notion, and it, we see it in a lot of different places, there's a prominent exponent of this idea of transnationalism now serving as the senior international law expert at the Department of State under President Obama, namely a former Yale University Law School dean by the name of Harold Coe. And Harold Coe is quite clear that he sort of looks forward to an age that is post-American, that is to say, an age in which the wisdom of sort of international elites can be brought to bear to make, as well as they put it in a report that I write about today in the Washington Times, a more perfect union in a more perfect world. And I guess the thing that's really creepy about this is, you know, who are these elites? You know, what gives them the right to tell us what to do? And Jim Henson, where does the idea, you mentioned the constitutional right to bear arms, where does the idea of a constitutional right to representative government fit in that kind of transnationalist agenda?
Well, it doesn't. That would be the huge problem I think that we're both a little concerned about. I think the issue for me is we made a particular point. You know, President Obama fails to understand what American exceptionalism means. It doesn't mean that we just think we're different and better in the way that he said, you know, Greece or England or anyone else, you know, Abu Dhabi might think they're a great place and have nationalist pride. That's not even close to what American exceptionalism means. It means we were founded on the basic idea that we would determine, we the people, what our form of government was and what rights we would give to that government. And they're trying to fundamentally turn that on its head and have the government tell us what rights we will retain. And that based on not even a plebiscite, not even letting us vote on it, you know, and if perhaps we all changed our minds, but on what they perceive to be the prevailing mood of the rest of the world. And it's fundamentally un-American. And I don't know what you could say that is more un-American than taking we the people and turning it into, you know, they the elite.
Yeah. Jim, I was in New Orleans a couple of years ago, and Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association, which is a very strong opponent, as you know, of the Organization of American States, Inter-American Convention Against the Illicit Manufacturing of and Trafficking in Firearms, Ammunition, Explosives, and Other Related Materials, better known for obvious reasons
as
CIFTA. Right. Yeah, it sure is. But anyway, he showed a movie there that really brought home this whole point of what it means to have, you know, the government intruding in ways that clearly go beyond the constitutional and our protected rights, specifically in the context of Katrina And as you may know, Jim, in the aftermath of Katrina, there were steps taken by the law enforcement authorities to go in and take guns away from people who owned them legally and felt very strongly in that circumstance, especially the need to have arms to protect their lives and property. But the point was that at the end of this program, there was this marvelous quote from a woman, as I recall it, she was a Canadian who was working for the United Nations at the time. She said this, and she made the point to the effect that, I know the Americans are really attached to their guns. You know, it sort of sounds like that Obama quote from the campaign, clinging to their guns and their God.
Right.
Anyway, she said that, I know they're really attached to their gods. She said, I know they're really attached to their guns, but they have to understand they're citizens of the world like everybody else, and they better get used to it. And in a way, Jim Henson, that really captures this kind of elite sensibility and determination to tell us what to do.
How did they get to be the elites, too? I don't remember voting on that. Was there some sort of, you know, memo that went around nominating him that I missed?
Yeah.
I think, you know, I definitely missed it. I think, you know, as in Katrina, that was a blatant, and New Orleans ended up losing some lawsuits around that because it was a blatant abuse of power. There is no right for a government to seize weapons. I mean, when do you need them more than in an emergency?
Yep.
And that would be the whole point. Okay, I have guns just in case everything goes to crap.
Right.
And then everything goes to crap, and the police are like, oh, excuse me, I'm going to need that, because
right.
The Canadians don't want you to have it.
That
doesn't resonate with me.
That's right. Well, and I don't think, in point of fact, it resonates with most Americans, and it's a happy thing, as you pointed out, Jim Henson, that it doesn't resonate with the U.S. Supreme Court. The question really is, and what we've been visiting with you usefully about here, is can the Harold Coes and the Barack Obamas of the United States government at the moment impose through this treaty, externally manufactured on the American people, new limits that would restrict, if not suspend, some of their constitutional rights? And sadly, this isn't the only example of it. We're seeing in a number of other respects this same kind of effort to achieve externally what they could never achieve through an elective, representative, accountable form of government like the one we're supposed to have. Jim Henson, thank you so much for visiting with us about this really important topic and helping us understand not just the micro example that we've been discussing of CFTA, but how it might bear on our sovereignty and security more generally. Jim, we'll talk with you again next week. Thank you again for joining us. And that's it for today's installment. Thank you, folks, for joining us. I hope you will do so again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
This is Frank Gaffney. Are you tired of Congress rushing through far-reaching legislation without understanding the consequences or even reading the bill? It's given us a flawed health care plan, an ineffective stimulus package, runaway spending, and crippling debt. Now President Obama wants the Senate to treat our national security the same way by approving the new START treaty with Russia before anyone really understands its ominous implications. The treaty would leave us with fewer deployed nuclear weapons than the Russians and impede our missile defenses while doing nothing about growing nuclear threats from China, Iran, and North Korea. When it comes to keeping America safe, it can't be business as usual on Capitol Hill. Tell your senators that in an ever more dangerous world, we need a strong and reliable deterrent, not a bad treaty. Stop the START treaty now. Paid for by the Center for Security Policy, StopTheStartTreaty.org.